Kingdom life comes into play when we begin to value the thing that the kingdom holds most dear.
We have to learn how to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord, and that's the thing that changes history.
We are stewards of this moment in time. We're talking about the potential for cities to be turned.
How are you to bring the kingdom of God into your region, into your family?
When we begin to let ourselves bend to the values of the kingdom of heaven, then things around us begin to bend in response.
You're listening to Lead the Kingdom Radio.
Welcome to Lead the Kingdom, Calibrating Leaders to Reign. I'm joined by my co-host, Mitch Clay. My name is Clint Kaler. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Mitch.
Good to be here with you today.
So we are so excited about launching Lead the Kingdom and cannot wait to get into all the incredible things that we have in our hearts about empowering leaders, and more than empowering, equipping leaders to reign in the earth with the kingdom, and really reorienting leaders to go in a really healthy direction as they lead their own groups and ministries and churches. So before we dive into all that, which is coming really fast,
amen,
let's introduce each other to our respective listeners. Of course, you travel really the world, speaking and teaching and leading at different places. And of course, we have had, as part of Next Gen Worship, we've been broadcasting for about 4 years now. So let's introduce ourselves to each other's listeners. You go ahead and go first, Mitch.
Okay. My name is Mitch Clay. I have a ministry called Proclamation Ministries. It was founded in the late 90s. Primarily, I've pastored churches. I've been an itinerant minister, traveling minister, and done a variety of different things. But in these days, these last maybe 10 years, we've really been focused on leaders. So almost everything that I do has to do with ministering to leaders, helping leaders in many ways. We do conferences. I work with a couple different groups of men that I travel with. And so we're doing conferences, intensive schools, and so forth in the nations. We have a deep, deep love for the Latin community, and we've been ministering amongst the Latins for many years now, since 1998.
Wow.
And even have a training center in Costa Rica right on the border with Nicaragua. That's been developing, and so I mean, that's what we do and who we are.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I've been watching you for the past, you know, decade or so, I guess. We're actually semi from the same area of the United States, from the Southwest Missouri area, where so many good things are happening. But yet, this is the first time for us to really sit down and go for something together, which I think is so fun.
Amen. Amen.
So my name is Clint, and if you've been listening to anything from Next Gen Worship, you'll know that my wife Haley and I lead Next Gen Worship as a couple. Next Gen Worship is a lot of things, but one thing that we consistently go for is empowering people to carry heaven in a world-changing way. And this is about helping people discover not only their own identity, but who they are in Christ, but who God is. A lot of people find themselves stuck in life, not sure how to carry something world-changing, the kingdom, and even not even understanding that they were born to change the world. So one of the first things we tell people is, you were born to change the world.
Yeah.
And their eyebrows go up, and they start dreaming with God, and good things happen. So we're so excited to have all of you listening and following along. And let's go ahead and dive in today and talk about, you know, why are we having this conversation? Why are we getting behind this thing called Lead the Kingdom? Why are we dreaming about calibrating leaders to reign in the earth? What's this all about, Mitch?
Well, it's interesting how this all came to pass. You know, Clint and I, we've known each other, like we would just bump into each other here and there along our pathways. Yep. And we always had an affection for one another. It was always like this attraction thing. But it was like we never did, for whatever reason, we just never sat down and like had that first initial long conversation. And, but there was always this thing there between us. And so recently, it's kind of funny, but we were at a bonfire, strangely enough, that had a baby dedication involved in it. I've never been to a bonfire.
My first two.
Where there was a baby dedication. But isn't it interesting that we actually this began. What you're experiencing as a listener right now began in that encounter Clint right. and I had with each other. And we began. I just left a meeting where I was with another leader in the body of Christ, and we impromptu had this deep, long conversation in his living room, actually, with some other young believers. And in that setting, it was about how do apostles and prophets relate to one another? Mm-hmm. How should they work together? Mm-hmm. And so then as I was bubbling over with this and I spoke to Clint, he began to share some different things that they were doing here and things they were experiencing here in the local area here in Southwest Missouri. And then the idea came even to a little bit of a deeper level of how do generations relate to one another.
Yeah.
So it's not just apostles or prophets, but it's how does the gray hair guys, you know, how should they be working together with the younger guys? Mm-hmm. Something sparked.
Yeah.
And it was that divine moment.
Yeah.
And it developed. You wanted to tell that part, how it developed into...
Well, we were actually getting together even on the phone to pray and talk about, you know, this kind of roundtable that we had, just discussing the idea of how prophet and apostle work together. And this other thing that just kind of emerged, which is actually a larger picture than just that, just praying together and talking together, I especially felt a sense of just a continual, I called it a thread that ran through all of our conversations, that there was maybe just something more to this than that one little meeting. Hmm. And you being just the amazing guy you are, just like, let's do a podcast or something, you know? And so we actually just took some time to explore, what could this mean? What is happening here, really? A lot of times we experience an initial spark from Holy Spirit, and we think that is maybe the word that he's speaking to us. But it's worth developing a little more to actually dive in and peel away some layers and say, Holy Spirit, what are you really saying here?
Right.
So
right.
out of all of that, and this is probably a two-month journey now we're talking about at least, we have discovered an impetus in the kingdom for us, a little assignment that maybe we could empower leaders, help them understand how to lead in the kingdom. We've got a lot of leaders out there, a lot of leadership podcasts,
right.
a lot of leadership teaching, but how to lead in the kingdom is maybe a bit of a mystery so far, and even what is the kingdom, probably still a mystery to a lot of people.
Exactly. And I think that's so key, and I think it's really an emphasis of the Holy Spirit for us, is that, like you said so well, there are many people who know their leaders, and they are leading. But when you roll in the idea and the revelation of the kingdom of God,
right.
it's different than planting a church and pastoring a local congregation. Now we're talking about something of a greater scope.
Right.
And not that it's, we're not ever speaking against local church or mm-hmm. or the importance of local church.
We're not devaluing that at all.
Exactly. That's better said. But we certainly have to understand how the local church is a part of something greater than itself, mm-hmm. Which is the kingdom of God.
Right. And speaking of that, we feel like us sitting at this table together is even a picture of this, because you're from, I hate to put a label on you.
Put it on you.
I'm going to put one on myself right after that. But you're from maybe the baby boomer generation, and I'm from the Gen Xers. And this is a thing that, as we describe it, if you're in one of the two categories, you may come to realize that there was a breakdown between these two generations. In fact, I'm in my mid-40s. I talked to so many men and women in this age group, in the mid-40 age group, where they're coming into their assignment and their destiny and their calling, even the anointings and giftings on their life, they're coming into those at a much later stage than maybe some of the people in your generation.
Right.
And I thought, well, maybe that's just specific to us. But then I heard your story, and I realized, no, this thing is actually a pattern that's repeating itself.
Right.
So you experienced a little bit of the same thing, right?
Right. And that was one of the most eye-opening things for me in our roundtable. We did a local roundtable, Clint and I and another brother from outside of the region here, is when they described how they had felt, I wouldn't say rejected, but they felt skipped over And there was things that were communicated to me as a baby boomer in that round table discussion, just an open-hearted discussion that completely caught me off guard and completely opened my eyes to something I didn't even know existed. And I think that these kinds of things are what's keeping, you know, older guys from understanding younger guys and younger guys from relating and understanding older guys. Because if we don't know the hurts, the wounds, the unmet expectations in each other's hearts, then of course there's many times where we're going to try to come together, even just to understand one another, let alone work with each other. But there's going to be these wounds that are unhealed and these skepticisms that come from those wounds and all the things that would keep us disjointed and at least not functioning the way we ought to.
I'm curious, maybe could you relate some of those things that were eye-opening to you about that conversation?
Yeah, the main one was that, I guess it's okay to describe this, was because I never in my whole life considered this. I didn't even know that it was a problem. Clint described his experience of feeling looked over. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but this is what my takeaway from it was, is that a baby boomer, me, an older guy, white hair guy, ask the Gen Xers to help us, help the baby boomers. Sometimes it's a little difficult when we're using pronouns here, but so help me if I'm not communicating well. But the baby boomers asked the Gen Xers to help us, the baby boomers, to reach to the millennials. Would that be right?
Yeah.
The generation before you. And to help us to be able to communicate with them, because we don't do technology, we don't do the verbiage, you don't understand, but you help us kind of build a bridge and help us, so because we want to minister to them. And as that process happened, the ministry did take place, but then what your sense was and your experience was, I don't want to...
No, you're doing good.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't want to devaluate it or pass over it. The reality of it was that you felt that we just basically looked over you and was really using your generation to reach another generation, but didn't consider that you had needs as well.
Right.
And that... I can't tell you how that impacted my heart and opened my awareness of something that I didn't even know existed. And it's deeply affected me. I want you to know that.
Wow.
Deeply affected me.
Well, I know then you shared that you had a similar experience, maybe not all the same dynamics, but you actually started coming into some of the things that you're walking in now later because... And we're talking about a lack of fathers, really.
Yes, that's
right. And we're talking about ministry-minded people who didn't have a father's heart. And so we're wanting to close that gap, right? We're wanting to say, well, number one, this exists, and we don't want to see the pattern repeated. We want to see the hearts of the fathers turn to the sons, and the hearts of the sons turn to the fathers.
Right, right.
So that's kind of a picture of where we're going with this. How do the two generations, the older and the younger, and it doesn't have to be labeled necessarily like we have done for illustration purposes, but how do we begin to walk together? How do we begin to value the younger to the older and the older to the younger in a way that's powerful, in a way that's not only God-honoring, but kingdom-advancing? And it can be extremely powerful and kingdom-advancing. So I don't know where you want to go from here. Let's just start off with some launching ideas about calibrating leaders' terrain. Yeah.
Well, one of the messages that's so integral to the whole message and everything that I do is this whole idea of family. And when you mention fathering, that is exactly what is the missing component.
Yeah.
Because a father's heart is to mentor his son, is to care for his son, to provide for his son, to protect his son, but also to develop his son so that a son then will come into his own, come into his destiny and his purpose.
Yeah.
And so much of what we've seen in quote-unquote ministry is not fathering at all.
What is it?
It's anything but fathering in many ways. It's almost, there's qualities, and this isn't, you know, we're speaking generalities here.
Sure.
It's not global, not every single place, but there's a lot of where leaders, and I think it's predominantly in my age group, but they would say things like, you need to serve my vision.
Yeah.
You need to lay your life down. And there's even phrases that we use as if you'll be faithful in little things.
Oh.
Then God will make you a ruler over much, yeah. You know, kind of thing. And so if you put your identity and your destiny on hold and you serve me, then there coming a day where, you know, people will serve you and your vision and so forth. And see, I just don't subscribe to that at all because I don't believe that. I know that God's foundation of what God is doing in the earth has everything to do with family. Mm-hmm. The whole kingdom functions on the understanding that God is the Father. He gave a son, the pattern son, the first son, and from that son came many sons.
Mm-hmm.
His goal from the beginning, this is so, so important. This is the plumb line.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning, before time, before there was an earth, before anything, the eternal purpose, Ephesians 3 tells us, was that God wanted to have a family and his sons would then bring heaven to earth, express heaven, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And the design of it all was that it could only function in the context of sonship and the father and his children.
Yeah, that is so powerful.
So when we have a church organization that's more identified by CEOs and natural government structures than a family unit, we'll have a function of sorts, but how can the love of God, how can the love of the Father flow in an organizational hierarchical structure, flow chart, when it's really meant to flow from heart to heart, from a father to a son?
Yeah. How do you diagnose this in your own self? So if I'm a pastor listening to this or I'm a leader of a ministry, how do I diagnose this in myself? How do I see the difference between the CEO type of leadership and the kingdom family father leadership?
Well, that's a good question. One of the things we talked about before we came on the air was to have a proper perspective.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a big kingdom perspective, it's so easy to just drill down into your local, your assignment, what it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
You have to understand who you are and what you're to do, obviously, your calling, your purpose.
Yeah.
But also you have to, that has to be integrated into a vision, a perspective that is so much bigger than your small part.
Yeah.
Okay. And you think, well, what's that have to do with the question? Well, I think it has everything to do with the question. Because if you only are building your church or you're building your organization, then you obviously will be excluding everything else and everyone else that's outside of that which you're focusing on.
Yeah.
But that's not the vision of God.
Right.
We have to understand that we're a part of something much larger than ourselves.
Yeah.
And so in the CEO mentality, then my goal is to operate, run, or cause this organization to be successful, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And usually that has to do everything with the bottom line and what makes sense and what's pushing me towards the goal and, you know, and what does success mean and so forth. And so that comes down to a definition of what's success. What is success? And I know these are big topics.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
But success in the kingdom of God, because he's a father—
Right.
Success is that his children would find out who they are, would come into the understanding of their identity, and that they would become mature sons.
Hmm.
See, that's success to a father. A father wants his sons to awaken to their identity, to awaken to their value, to awaken to their dreams and their aspirations and the very reason they exist. And then the father does what he has to do to nurture and care for and stimulate that and provide the place for that son to be able to make mistakes and to launch out on his own. And the goal of a father is not to keep his son in his house. The goal of a father is to raise a son, to cause him to be mature, that he'll go have his own family.
Yeah, that's really good.
And so how different is that when you lay that big overarching view and purpose of the kingdom of God and God's heart over top of a organizational structure that many local leaders are threatened by up-and-comings.
Oh, yeah.
Threatened by other gifts, threatened by others that would draw attention away from them as the primary leader.
Woo.
And we could go for weeks on those kind of topics.
Yeah. Well, I think you're painting a clear picture here of the difference between what we've known as maybe the religious system and what we see as the up-and-coming kingdom. And there literally is a shift happening in the earth right now towards kingdom.
Yeah.
And we don't ever, like you say, we don't ever want to devalue what's happening in local church, and we are proponents and leaders of local church.
Amen. I think it's also important to always go back to the scriptural definition, but the scriptural verbiage.
Yeah.
What is the church?
Let's talk about it.
The church is the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. The end of Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1, 2, 1 also says that Jesus Christ is the head, okay, of his body, which is the church. I mean, you don't have to be a Greek scholar or a deep-thinking theologian to mm-hmm. understand that what those words mean.
Mm-hmm.
The body of Christ is the church of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Yeah.
And in that exchange with Peter, then he said, I give you the keys to the kingdom.
Wow.
So the church is vital to the plans of God because the church is the body of Christ, and Christ is the king.
Yeah.
And every kingdom needs a king, and Christ, the Messiah, is the king of
mm-hmm.
the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's really powerful. We actually lead a local group here in Southwest Missouri, but I don't view what we're leading as the most important thing that's happening. I view what we're leading in the context of what he's doing in the city, in the context of what he's doing in the region.
That's right.
And I think that's what happens to our mentalities and our hearts when we start to have a kingdom mindset. When we start to be aware, first of all, that there is a kingdom, and second of all, be sensitive to it. We can see these moving parts and pieces in our cities and in our regions that are happening before us, and it's an invitation for us to all step into something even more powerful than our own personal assignments. So you see, you know, some guys are more kingdom-oriented than others. You know, they talk this language. You know, this is their thing, the kingdom language, the kingdom talk, the kingdom guys. But honestly, this is where church is going when we say church.
That's
this
right.
is where church is going.
That's
it's
right.
going to advance kingdom. This is the assignment of church.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, when you put the church into the family context, which mm-hmm. is not a stretch, it's very natural.
Right.
Then you see that each local church expression is just a part of the family.
Right. Yeah.
Like in my family, I have two children, and they're both married, and they both have their own homes. Well, so our family is in three separate homes.
Oh, wow.
You know, because my son has his wife and a home.
Yeah.
My daughter has a husband and a home, and I live in a home. So we're one family, but we have three homes.
Wow.
So in the Church of Jesus Christ, the family of God, in the city, there's many expressions of the family of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
But they just have different locations.
Mm-hmm.
That they meet on Sunday morning. That's not the full expression of the body of Christ, the church,
mm-hmm.
but that's just what happens in many places on Sunday mornings.
Yeah. So when we're talking about calibrating leaders to reign, let's just kind of unpack that a little bit, and I want to steer our conversation back towards the kingdom and then kind of wrap it up from there. But let's talk about calibrating leaders to reign. What does that mean? And kind of in the context of the kingdom, let's just explore that, unpack that. What are you thinking when we say those words?
Well, when we were talking about this verbiage, calibration, you know, I kept getting this image in my mind of gears that were meshing. Gears that are uncalibrated, they don't mesh well,
mm-hmm.
and they're grind. You know, that awful sound when you don't quite,
right.
you know, when you don't quite go from third to second, right? And there's that noise.
Totally.
There's a lot of that noise in the air, if you will.
Oh, wow.
Because we're out of sync with the kingdom of God.
Wow.
Our gears are not meshing with God's ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that a lot of the purpose of why God has put us two together and called us to this assignment
mm-hmm.
of calibrating leaders is to begin to cause men and women, cause leaders in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, to begin to consider Am I calibrated? Am I adjusted? Am I in sync with God's way, with God's kingdom expression?
Yeah.
And if not, then we just need to make the adjustments. And the other thing about this is that the revelation of the kingdom is a progressive revelation. So the light we've had in the past only leads us to new light that will be in the future.
Mm.
So it's light that gives us light that leads us to light.
Yeah.
And so if we do need to make adjustments, sometimes it's only because we have new light.
Mm-hmm.
We have new understanding. And that new understanding causes us to make decisions that will more fully align us with what the purposes of God is in the earth and for our lives.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the scripture where it says that Jesus went out preaching the gospel of the kingdom.
Right.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it says, and the 12 were with him.
Yeah.
So this is not something that he just assigned to those he left behind, so to speak, the 12, and then everyone else that came after that. This is Jesus still.
Yes.
Leading.
Yes.
And advancing the kingdom in the earth.
Absolutely.
So I would love to talk about the kingdom more. I think that it deserves like maybe a whole show.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Or a couple.
or the rest of the shows maybe. But I would like to maybe from our own process, our own experience, let's leave people with maybe one thought about your process that catapulted you into this kingdom mentality. Like, was there something that happened in your life where a switch got flipped? Or because a lot of people, you know, they may be sitting in a pew on Sunday or whatever and just eating this up, loving it, and just reading all they can about it. But the switch isn't flipping for them. The revelation, the light isn't turning on. Can you maybe share something from your own life?
For me, about maybe 10 or 12 years ago, this whole understanding of sonship came to me in such a, just an absolute, it was an epiphany. I mean, is that how you say that word?
Yeah, exactly.
Epiphany.
Right.
It was like a Paul on the road to Damascus. I mean, I couldn't say it was one moment of time like that where the light was shining so brightly, so forth. But there was an awakening in my heart about sonship. And that awakening caused me then to understand God giving the first son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he has the pattern. He has the first of many. That's Romans 8:28.
Right.
The first son of many sons. That whole idea then began to awaken me that, I'm thinking John 14 right now, you'll do the works that I do, Jesus said. You'll do the works that I do and greater works than these because I go to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we'll probably spend time on a few of those verses and more. But the main thing with that is that God, when he showed me sonship and the importance of sonship, was that there was an awakening in me that only through sonship could the kingdom come.
Mm, man, that's so good.
Only through sonship.
Wow.
They said to Jesus, teach us to pray. Pray like this. Our Father, mm-hmm. which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. That was the pattern prayer. That's what Jesus taught them to pray.
Yeah.
That heaven would come to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that it would be on the earth even as it was in heaven.
Yeah. That's so amazing because I had a very similar experience in my life. I had been serving in ministry and in local church for a long time, you know, over 10, 12 years. And even was a revival guy, you know, going for that mm-hmm. expression of heaven, just a radical and going for, you know, experiences with God and seeing people saved and healed and delivered. And I found myself at the end of where I could grow in my relationship with him until I got a better view of myself and a better view of him. And I say a better view, it was more like a radical overthrow of the thoughts and ideas I had about myself and the thoughts and ideas I had about God. Actually, I was believing, or I was under the influence of some lies about myself and some lies about my Father. And that was back in the late 2000s, mid to late 2000s. And I started getting a hold of some Bill Johnson teachings.
Uh-huh.
And he started talking about the nature and character of God and actually about our identity. And I had heard so many identity scriptures and sermons, you know,
mm-hmm.
but something happened when he spoke. And the thing I think was the difference is that he's a father.
Right, right.
I had never had a father speak to me, even though it was over the internet.
Right, wow.
Something about the words from his mouth, because he's a father, so wrecked me that I began a what's now a 10-plus year journey into sonship, and it changed everything.
Amen. I agree.
It changed everything. And so the importance of having Mitch a father and Clint a son, and then Clint being a father to the ones coming up.
Sure.
So powerful. In fact, Jesus, I like to tell our group this, that when Jesus said our Father, he changed everything. And that will change everything.
Amen.
So why don't we just pray for everybody real quick, and then we'll wrap it up and look forward to our next show.
Father, I just thank you that you've made provision by the Spirit of adoption and the Holy Spirit in each believer. I just pray, even over this group that's listening right now, that there will be an awakening in hearts concerning their identity as a child of God. And that there, if there's any doubts or any questions or even any lies, any whispers of the enemy, the father of lies, that they would be absolutely put to rest as you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of adoption, just confirm and affirm to them that are listening right now, those children of God that are listening right now, that they are the children of God, that they're in good standing with their Father, and that the Father is for them and not against them.
Mm-hmm.
So awaken them to sonship. Yeah. Awaken them to the full provision of the house of God. Awaken them to the full acceptance of their Father, and cause them, Lord, to shift away from orphan mentality and everything else that would lead them to some other direction. Father, synchronize them, calibrate them to your kingdom, to your household, Father, in Jesus' name.
Man, that's so good. So good. I so enjoyed listening to all of your insight and your perspective. And that's what this is all about. You're sharing from a unique perspective from your generation, and we're working together back and forth. There's a mutual honor, a respect, and a willingness and a desire to pull from both places.
Yes.
That's a really healthy place.
Yes.
So we thank you for listening today. We want to invite you to join the conversation and plug into the movement of fathers and sons at leadthekingdom.com. Hey friends, thanks for listening. Plug into our network at leadthekingdom.com. Over there, you'll find resources to equip and empower your leadership potential. Also, get registered to receive emails on upcoming events, online leadership sessions, and more. You are valuable, and you were born to change the world.